Let's pray again this morning. Lord, we recognize that you are here. Help us to enter into this moment that is full of divine possibility. Thank you for all that you have done for us to make a space and a place and a people for us to inhabit. We pray that we would seek you and find you as we are seeking you with all of our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen and amen. You can have a seat. Welcome once again to Park Street Brethren Church. We're grateful that you are all with us this morning as we are continuing in our last week of our sermon series, The Song of Solomon. Fear not if you're concerned, because we've got a lot of kids in this place today. This is an absolutely G-rated sermon, totally and without a question. We are reminding ourselves weekly that we are part of not only this community of Christians, but we are part of a larger community that not only circles the globe, there are Christians gathering in Jesus' name all over the planet right now, but also, according to Scripture, a great cloud of witnesses of faithful men and women who have gone before us. So this whole idea of following Jesus, it's not you do whatever you want, and you privately kind of just following Jesus and kind of just keep it between you and him and nobody else needs to know about it. That is not the biblical model, and that's not the invitation, and that's not the example of the last 2,000 years of the Christian faith. Next week, we're going to start a 11-week sermon series on the book of Hebrews. So we're going to go into a deep dive in the book of Hebrews. That's going to take us all the way to Christ the King Sunday, and the Sunday after that is Advent. So that's the kind of getting ready for Christmas season. So we're going to spend a lot of time in the book of Hebrews focusing on who Jesus is and how we can follow him with great endurance. So last week in the Song of Songs, and we've kind of had a very interesting and enlightening time going through this book together. And I mentioned this, I think, on the second or first week, but this book is kind of with a lot of warnings, even in its own original Hebrew tradition. And the tradition is that Hebrew men weren't even invited to read this book until they turned 30. And so for a lot of the kids, we would say, you know, all of the books of the Bible are inspired by God, but this is just a particular book that you don't really have to worry about right now. This doesn't pertain to you in your season of life, but there are a couple verses that do. And these are the verses I want to focus on this morning. That focus on if you are just a youngling, just a kid who is a part of the family of faith. And that those two verses come at the end of the book in chapter 8, verses 8 through 9. Now, I did paraphrase Scripture. I'm going to confess that to you. To make it a G-rated sermon, I had to do a little massaging. But the intent is here. And if you've got your Bible, you can look at it and see what it says for your own self. But for our sake this morning, let's look at Song of Songs, chapter 8, verses 8 through 9. And this is what the Word of God says. It says, "Friends, we have a little sister, and she has not yet come of age. What shall we do for our sister on the day she is spoken for? If she's a wall, we will build towers of silver on her. And if she is a door, we will enclose her with panels of cedar." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Kids, that's pretty obvious what that means, right? You don't need any help unpacking that. That's not the case? Okay, we'll spend some time then explaining what that means. But first, I kind of want to talk about when it comes to how we live our lives and what we do with our bodies. There's folks that we love, folks that we know well and we respect them, and we would even say, hey, they're good and wonderful people, but they just disagree with us on a fundamental level about a couple things. Doesn't make them bad, doesn't make them evil. They're people you might love and know very well, but it means that we have different ideas about how we should live this life and how we should steward our bodies. And it really does come down to this fundamental question. Do you believe there's a God or not? So there's one group of people that says, no, there's no God, right? And then there's another group of people that says, yes, there is a God, right? So one group says no, one group says yes, okay? Again, these are not bad people. These are people we love, people hopefully we're praying for and we're actively showing and sharing Jesus with. But what comes out of that are a lot of then assumptions or beliefs from that core belief. And one of them is, if there is no God, then there are really no rules, no divine rules stamped in the cosmos. There might be laws that you need to obey in order not to go to jail. But as far as like what you're supposed to do, what you were designed for, folks who don't believe in God say, that's not a thing. There's no ultimate purpose for your life. There's no set of moral foundations that you have to pursue. But people who believe in God say, yes, there is. There's a moral order to the universe. There's things that God has created us for and things that God does not want us to engage with. And so therefore, by the way, it's been a long time since I watched, but does the Outback Steakhouse still have the slogan, no rules, just right? When was the last time you guys were at Outback? Have you tried just taking off your shoes and socks and putting it in the soup? Somebody says anything, say, hey, bro, no rules. You said it, not me. Okay, so if there are no rules, then what comes out of that? Well, then the thing that comes out of that is you should do whatever you want, really. There's no moral rules. And again, I'm not trying to create a straw man. I'm not trying to, I have lots of friends who don't believe in God, and they would say it's ridiculous to believe that, you know, like people who don't believe in God want to go around murdering people left and right. And I'm like, no. I'm not arguing that you are not law-abiding citizens. What I'm arguing is fundamentally, if you do not believe in a divine creator, then your perspective is you can do whatever you want. There's no rules. As long as you don't break any civil, local, and national laws, have a great time. You're only here for a little while. Whereas people who believe in God say, actually, our whole life, this whole following Jesus bit, is not about just doing whatever we want. And the entire journey of following Jesus is just an increasing less of me and more of Jesus. And so I'm not just doing whatever I want all the time. Hopefully, prayerfully, increasingly, I'm doing what God wants. How does God want me to live this day? How does God want me to treat my siblings? How does God want me to share the good news of the gospel? So those are really different things, right? So we're all on the same page here so far, right? So this is the other bit then. This is the last bit that I'm seeing more and more. If you're a person who says, okay, no God, no rules, do whatever you want, then what's been happening recently, and this has probably been happening for a long time, but I'm just cluing into it, is therefore parents, teachers, pastors who are trying to give you a moral framework, who are trying to teach you the rules of what God expects of you, when they communicate those to, they're actually hurting you. They're harming you. They're putting guilt on you. They're coercing you. They're manipulating you, right? There's no rules. And these fussy preachers, they just like telling people what to do, right? And that's really spiritual abuse and spiritual trauma. Anyone who does that. Whereas those of us who actually believe in God and believe there's a moral order to the universe and believe that it's revealed to us perfectly through the Son of Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Savior of the world, and made known to us through the Word of God, we then view these people around us who God has placed in authority over us, they're helping us. They're telling us what God wants us to do because sometimes we don't always know on our own. We need him to explain it to us, right? Now, is this to say parents, teachers, and preachers are perfect? No. And many times they can fail very epically and they can do some harm when that failure happens. But when they fail, it's not the case that they are teaching you God's rules. When they fail you, it is the case that they themselves are not obeying God's rules, right? So they will fail us, but it's not the rules that have failed us. It's not God's design. It's not God's order. It's that the imperfect people that are trying to teach it to us, sometimes they fall short, okay? Okay. That sounds good. I'm going to teach you all a word. And it's a very like fancy theological word, but I want everyone to say it, and I've broken it down for you. And we're going to say it together. The word is teleological. So say te.
Teleological.
Say Leo.
Leo.
Say logical.
Logical.
Teleological.
Teleological.
In my brain, when I was doing this, it was going to like turn into like a dance number. Everybody say te. Everybody say Leo.
Leo.
Everybody say logical.
Logical.
And then I decided not to do that because that'd be stupid. What does teleological mean? Teleological means that we recognize design in something and therefore somebody created or designed it with a purpose. So let's put on our imagination caps. Literally, I want you to do this. Not everyone's doing it. Thank you. You're not going to be able to do this without your imagination cap. Let's imagine we're walking through the woods, okay? And with your imagination hats on, and if you're walking through the woods and you're a person who's under the age of 10, what kind of noises might you hear in the woods? Anybody? Yeah, what do you hear? You're hearing birds chirping. What else might you hear? Huh? Owls, they are birds, yes. Chipmunks, very noisy. Those chipmunks. What might you hear? You might hear the wind. You might hear the leaves blowing. And what might you see with your eyes if you're in the woods, Eliana? You might see what on the ground? Leaves on the ground. A bunny. What else do we see? There's something funny. What is it?
Sasquatch.
A Sasquatch? Somebody can figure that kid's imagination cap. If you see a Sasquatch at Freer Field, please let the authorities know. He's wanted for questioning. Okay, so Bigfoot, they're cousins. So we're in the woods and we're hearing these different things and we're seeing these different things. What if we came upon this? What if this picture, what if you saw this? Now somebody, Eliana already said that we might see leaves on the ground. But if you saw these leaves on the ground looking like this, would you just think, wow, that is crazy that the wind arranged them like that? That is crazy that they just fell off the leaf in this perfect pattern. Was that what you would think? No. What would you think? Somebody organized these leaves in this pattern, right? Okay, so then you keep walking, and then you come up to a pile of rocks. Pile of rocks, you know, we see them all the time, but this pile of rocks looks like this. Would you think, wow, isn't that crazy how nature do like that sometimes? Or would you think, no, somebody stacked these rocks in a certain way? Well, that's kind of what the teleological argument is. The creation of something. I've got a prop. I've brought it here. Now, still with our imagination caps on. Don't take them off, please. After we saw the leaves in that pattern, and after we saw the rocks stacked up in that way, what if after a little while, you came upon this object? And for the sake of today's imagination station, we're going to pretend you've never seen one of these things before in your life. You have? False. No. For today, we're pretending that you haven't, okay? And if you saw this, after you saw the leaves, and after you saw the stack of rocks, and you were thinking, what is this thing? It's kind of different than the other things. It just doesn't exist naturally. There's a lot more to it. And then if you were like thinking, okay, well, what's it do? Is it like, could you play croquet with it? could you use it as a fly swatter? Like, oh, maybe you could like use a string as like a tiny arrow shooter, shoot arrows at people. There seems to be like some lines here and then a hole. Maybe you could smush a banana through it and it could be a banana slicer. You could put Takis in it. Right? You could do all those things with it. But we should probably, like, okay, we've never seen this before. Okay? You've seen Bigfoot, but you've seen this? No. And we don't know what it is, so we should probably give it a name. Let's let's call it tar. It's a tar. And if you don't like it, you can get. Wait a minute, no. So this is a tar. And we're still trying to figure out what it does. But then, at some point we go, you know what? I think this might be a musical instrument. How cool. It's not just like a banana slicer. It's a musical instrument. And this is how you play it. Obalayo! Yes? So close. It's the wrong way. Your face is the wrong way. So, think about that next time you're looking at Sasquatch. I should turn it around, is your point? Like this? That sounds good. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Oh, hold on. What happened here? How'd this get all tangled? I blame the Sasquatch. Oh, wait, okay. Ha ha. Sounds like music, right?
Yeah.
So we've seen this thing. It obviously, it's different than the leaves and the rocks. It seems to have been created for a purpose. There's someone who made it to accomplish something. So maybe if we want to figure out what it is, we should ask the person who made it, right? So, as you all well know, this thing is not called a tar. It's called a guitar. And there's a whole history of different instruments that came before it. Lutes and ouds and different kinds of stringed acoustic instruments. But the six-string guitar that we're most familiar with was invented in the 19th century, a classical guitar by a Spanish guy named Antonio del Torres. And then there was a guy named C.F. Martin, Christian Frederick Martin, who took the classical guitar and it had nylon strings and he put steel strings on them. And he invented what we now know as the guitar. And if you put your fingers in certain ways on the guitars, you can make chords. And you have to play the chords a specific way to get it to make the sound that it's created for. Yes? Well, some people say no. Some people say, my tar, my choice. Some people say, music is music. Love is love. I can play it like this if I want to. There's no rules. And by the way, why are you so hateful to claim that this has a name and a design and a function? I'm not trying to be hateful. I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life. I'm just saying that we recognize because of the complexity, there's design and intentionality behind its creation. And therefore, the one who created it would be the one best suited to tell us what it is made for. Yeah? So here's the thing. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Way, way more complex than a guitar. Ooh, almost came right off. And God created you for a reason. And sometimes we don't always know the specifics of that reason. That doesn't mean like God has created you to go to this certain city, to take this occupation, to marry this certain person. But it means in general, God has created all human beings to be like him, to reflect who he is, to love people like he does. And that means that there's ways that we can do it that align with the Creator's intention. And then there are ways we can live our lives that don't align with the Creator's intention. So let's return to these two verses and we'll explain it and we'll be done for this morning. So the friends say, hey, we have a little sister. And she's not a grown-up yet. She's still young. She's still learning about the world. And she hasn't experienced all these changes that happen when you get older in life. What will we do with her when she's a grown-up? What will we do with her when she's an adult and she can make her own decisions about her own body and she can do with her own body whatever she decides? And here's the advice from Scripture. It says, the community looks out for her. And if she is a wall, meaning if she's standoffish and she doesn't like being around people and she's closed off and she doesn't want to see or talk to anybody, then the community's job is to help her become a part of the community, to help surround her with things that are beautiful, like towers of silver, so that she can do what she's made for, be a part of a community that loves her and loves God. But what if she's a door? It means that she is too loving, too accepting, too welcoming all the time. She just like find a stranger on the street and hold their hand and just follow them anywhere. It's like, okay, well, that's not good either. What should we do with her? Well, we should surround her. We should protect her. We should look out for her. We should encase her with panels of cedar. Not to restrict her and not to harm her and not to keep her from doing the things that she wants to do, but because she's not old enough yet to understand what she is made for. So we're going to look out for her. I really wanted the kids of our church to hear this, and I really wanted to hear the parents and the families of our church to hear us. The number one lie that I hear all the time in the world when it regards our bodies and what to do with them is that children should make their own choices about their own bodies. It is not only biologically incorrect, not only is it psychologically incorrect, it is biblically anathema. You do not, I am assuming, if you are a responsible parent, you do not let your child set its bedtime. You do not let it set the only things that it eats, because all my kid would eat is hot fudge sundaes from Dairy Queen, right? They don't want to go to school, and you probably say, as a parent, sorry, you're going. There's all kinds of things that we say, okay, I'm not trying to abuse you, and the opposite. I'm not trying to harm you. I'm trying to set you up for success in life. And so there are these things that even if you don't want to do them, you're going to do them. And the idea that a child has enough mental capacity or experience with life to decide to do whatever they want with their body is obviously stupid. And a lot of people want to pretend like that's not true, but it is. Children, neurobiologically, we know that their prefrontal cortex isn't developed fully until they're 25 years old. But we're going to let a 12, a 13, a 14, 15-year-old child decide to do whatever they want with their body? It's like, it's not about control, okay? It's about stewarding and protecting people until they're old enough to decide for themselves. Your children, when they grow up, are going to decide for themselves whether they want to follow Jesus or not. Thank God for that. They don't just inherit the faith of their fathers and mothers. Everyone has to make a choice. But the idea that in the meantime, the people that God has placed around them should not try to influence them, should not try to direct them toward good things and protect them from bad things, it's foolishness. And the world has tried to present it as an ultimate good, but it's completely evil. I don't have any other words for it. God has given you a family. Might not be a perfect family. God has given you a church. Might not be a perfect church. God has given you the people around you, and they're probably all flawed in many different ways. But the lie of the world is, fundamentally, because there is no truth and because there is no God, everybody gets to do whatever they want. And what happens, ultimately, when everybody does whatever they want all the time, is a lot of people get hurt. And a lot of people experienced abuse and all kinds of other things. So, what I wanted you to hear from me today is that you were created with a purpose. And that the thing that created you is love. And that you were designed to be in community and to reflect the love of Jesus. And if you are under the age of 152, you probably don't know how to do that perfectly yet. So we need to listen to one another. We need to seek God's word to understand not what are the fun things that I'm not allowed to do, but understand why did God create me this way? Because if you submit your life to the design that God has created for, you will make the most beautiful sounds in eternity because God has created you to glorify himself. Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, for these families and for this community, we are so overwhelmingly grateful. And we feel it, Lord. We feel it hard pressed on every side in these days when the world continually speaks the language and the native tongue of the enemy, which is lies and deceit. And the enemy continues to want to frame any submission and surrender to Jesus as oppression, when in reality, it's freedom. So help us, Lord. Help us to be a community that doesn't fall for it, that doesn't believe the lies of the enemy, that doesn't allow ourselves to accept these total fabrications that somehow will be safer and happier and more fulfilled if we just do whatever we want. Because we have countless examples of people around us who are doing that, and they never seem to be happy. Help us to realize that what you've created us for is to love God and to love each other. And in order to do that well, we need to surrender what we want and say yes to what you want. Thank you that you don't leave us as orphans. We're not trying to figure this out on our own, but that you have sent your Holy Spirit to guide, to direct, to protect us. And we pray that over our community in these days. And we pray that somehow, because of your Spirit's work in us and because of your long suffering and grace, even though we stumble, we pray that these would be lives full of long obedience in the same direction, conforming every day into your likeness. We pray that in all of it, Jesus would be glorified. We pray this in his powerful and resurrected name, and all of God's people said, amen. If you'd like to pray this morning, we've got folks in the balcony, in the back, on the sides, who would be overjoyed to join their faith with yours in seeking the Lord. For the rest of us, let's stand and worship our Creator together. Let's sing together as a community that loves God and loves one another the doxology as we close. Praise God from whom blessings flow.
Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Receive this benediction this morning. We bless you in the strong name of Jesus, to recognize that the God who made you, who knit you together in your mother's womb, is good. He created you with intentionality and purpose, and your life will reflect His glory when you surrender your will and choose to follow Jesus with your whole heart. We bless you in His strong name to that good work, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. I love you very much, church. Go in peace.